Thank you, Sam. I hear you. We're all stumbling around, aren't we? That's the way, sometimes it's just like that. Excuse me. Well, wonderful to see you all this morning. It's good to get together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage is a real interesting passage, isn't it? The eighth miracle that John talks about. Now, of course, people say, well, what about the resurrection? Well, you're right, that's a miracle, but we'll hold on to that until April. But this, you know, and this world, if you haven't noticed already, this world really doesn't have much grace for failure, right? When you fail, somebody's going to either get after you in one way or another, or they're just going to, you know, bench you. And how they bench you, I don't know. They might just not talk to you anymore, or your boss might come up and say, hey, well, last night we were watching something called, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, though, I Heard the Bells. And he wrote a letter to the general because his son went off to war. This is the Civil War. And he says, would you just have him away from the all the fighting? And so he did that. You know, the people who were in command of him would have him sit there and watch the supply train and while everybody else is out there fighting. You know, so he was going, I want to fight too, but they wouldn't allow him to until a certain point when he actually did get involved and he got shot, actually. But, you know, so we can get benched in many different ways, and sometimes we can bench ourselves. We try, or we just tried once, and that was it, you know. And, oh, man, I just made a big stink there. I didn't do that very well. You know, it's kind of like Bunny probably making a pie for the first time. Probably didn't turn out that well, did it, Mick? Did it turn out well, the first pie she's ever made? Yeah, really? You really? No, okay. Now the truth comes out, you see. See, remember Joy was talking about, you know, our fire alarm goes off? Yeah. There's a little fire, a little burning here and there. I love burned crust. There's something about, who said that? Yeah, see, people, oh yeah, okay. I hear some people here have the same type of heart. Now, I might not eat it, but I like it. So I don't know about you if you're eating it.
I bought almonds.
Oh.
It turned out all right, but I didn't know
Mick, do you know the difference now? Yeah, that would be the hardest part, I think, right there. That's true. Slivered almonds, yeah, I could see that. Okay, all right. We'll take your word for that. So all these things, you know, talking, you know, this, we have a tendency to go through these things in our lives. And one thing I want you to understand, you know, when you feel somebody benched you, or you're benching yourself, or maybe you'll encounter something in the future, know that there. And you can go to this passage of John 21 and see something that you need to see and receive something that you need to receive. Because there's a lot of re's for God. Did you know the R-E, the prefix of R-E? Something like reboot, retry, restart, redeem. All those things, you know, they have that re, and that re means again, you know, do it again. We're going to give you another chance. And so we're going to be looking at that here, and for actually the main character here besides Jesus is Peter. And Peter doesn't even really use, I mean, they use Simon Peter, you know, but Jesus uses his name Simon, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, again, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word that we can get into together today. Father, that you'll open our hearts, that these words be guided by your Holy Spirit. These words will be empowered. They'll come alive in us to teach us, to remind us, to change us into the people you purposed us to be. May you receive all the honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's another R here. It's called regression. If you look at Peter in this instance, you know, we got the scene is set. They're by the Sea of Galilee. There's seven of them, you know, Peter and six others together. And Peter's going, well, I'm going to go fishing. You know, now that sounds kind of innocent, doesn't it? I mean, he used to be a fisherman, right? So it's easy to kind of go back to where you were. So when you get benched, you tend to regress back to where you were. It's regression is returning to the state and the condition that you were, but it's more of a negative meaning, correct? So when you regress, you're going back, but not for a good thing, not in a good way. And so he's working through that. He's going fishing, and because he's still a pretty influential guy, the other six say, yeah, me too. All right, I'm going to go too. I'm going with you. So they're out there, and what happens? Didn't catch anything all night. So that, you know, as a fisherman, if you're not catching a fish, there's a big failure sign going bing, bing, bing. Right? You're just not good enough, Peter. And he's already feeling that way because he denied Jesus three times just recently. But there was a point in Luke 24, verse 34, where Jesus privately met with Peter. And a lot of people say, and it doesn't say it, but I would expect that Jesus talked to them about that. And I believe that there was a forgiveness asked and a forgiveness given in that time. But even with forgiveness doesn't mean that we're off the bench and doesn't mean that we put ourselves on the bench. So we could be forgiven, but there's a lot more going on there because there's consequences, right? When we deny somebody, like, you know, Peter denied Jesus, he will forgive us when we come with him with a true heart, a repentant heart. He'll forgive us, but that doesn't mean that there are not consequences following that. And I think that's what Peter is going through right now, right? And he's out there, he's doing everything he can all night long, and there's no fish. Oh, terrible. Peter, the rock. The rock is being broken. Or maybe it's already been broke. He needs help. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus doesn't leave us alone. That's a good thing about Jesus. He's working all the time. He doesn't leave us alone. And so here he is on the shore. And he asks the questions, well, have you caught any fish? Jesus knew. But he just wanted to, you know, ask him that question. And you know what the answer was? It was no. No, I didn't. He didn't even know who was on shore asking him, but he answered no. A humbling no. Right? It's interesting. Then Jesus says, well, cast your nets on that right side of the boat. They cast nets and they catch a lot of fish. And all of a sudden, bing, bing, you know, the lights are going off. Because this takes you back to where Peter and Jesus met one other time at a boat and a night of fishing and no catching. And then Jesus saying, put your nets aside to that side, and they catch two boatfuls of fish. So these things are stirring in Peter's minds, and so the other disciples there too. And then John goes, hey, I know who that is. That's not just a regular person out there. That's Jesus. And why was it John that recognized Jesus first? Why do you think? Because the almond pie was so good? Why? Well, it comes down to John had that even a closer relationship with Jesus, didn't he? Because they say and when they were having their Last Supper, who was leaning up against who? John was leaning up against Jesus' breast, right? He was right there. I mean, he wouldn't just have anybody next to him. Or maybe John is the one that said, just elbowed the other guys away. I could see John doing that because Son of Thunder, one of the Thunder guys, you know, probably kicked James in the gut in there. And Peter was getting close. He went boom like that. And Peter goes flying. He goes, I'm next to you, boy. He gets next to Jesus because he loves Jesus that much, right? So when we are walking closely with the Lord, we will recognize him. See, there's an R-E. Recognize our Savior. Recognize our Redeemer. Recognize the one who has given us life, new life. A one who loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. John recognizes him. Peter remembers when he caught fishing. And what did he do? Well, Peter at that point, when he saw Jesus that time and they caught that fish, he went down at Jesus' knees and said, get away from me. I'm a sinner. And then as they work through that, and then Jesus says, you're going to be fishers of men now. But this time, Peter's not saying, get away from me. What is he doing? He's taking up, he's putting his clothes on, and he's jumping in the water. He's not waiting for anybody else. I think it says they're only about 100 yards off the shore, so he swam ahead of everybody. He was getting to Jesus. This time, he wanted to be next to Jesus, close to him. See, when they recognize who he is, and I believe that Peter is going, oh, there he is. I got to get close to him. And he knows there's a love there that he needs right now. And then Jesus feeds them. There's already fish and bread there, isn't it? So there's a refreshing time for all as well, you know, to eat and the fellowship and to have the bread and to laugh amongst one another and to care for one another and getting dried off and warmed up, and all these things are happening, and Jesus is providing that. So in the recognition that Jesus is the one that provides all that we need is there. And they're experiencing it once again. See, we need to know him and to know him more. And we don't stop knowing him. And we'll recognize him when we feel like we're getting benched, or we want to bench ourselves and we just want to say, I'm done. I quit. This is too much for me. Algebra 101, I can't handle it. And you go off and you cry. Normal. Because I did that how many times? Don't laugh. Those are painful moments. I think I lost some hair. Maybe from up top here, yeah. From all the pulling and all that stuff, right? You're going through all that. I didn't have Jesus when I was going through algebra. I didn't. I didn't recognize who he was in my life. Though he's knocking on my door all the time, saying, come to me. Come to me. And I'm going, I'm on my own. And I get benched by algebra. And I failed, and I had to do a summer course. But praise the Lord, they didn't have enough people, and I was able to go on with my summer. So I still didn't learn algebra until I was in junior college. Did you know that? And it took me 2 times to get through it. Even then, don't laugh, I said. I'm sharing my pain with you, and you're laughing at me. But you know, that's life, right? We get benched. We bench ourselves. I can't overcome algebra. My brother's vector calculus or whatever. Me, 1 + 1 = 2 is good for me. All right? I don't need these cosines. I don't need this equals that. Just give me 1 + 1, and I'm happy. And I could do subtraction, too. And I'm good at multiplication. I know my times tables. I know Elliot probably doesn't know that yet. They don't know how to teach that well, I'm sure. So, but all that stuff, that's what Peter is going through. I'm trying to work through that. But he's recognizing the love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus isn't just a love, just a phileo love, a brotherly love, though it is. But it's something deeper and more powerful and life-changing. And he's grasping it again. It's amazing. Oh, you think that's amazing? Well, there's even more amazing things coming up. Because after their nice meal and the tummies are all happy, all that stuff. Now Jesus comes into the grinder. He comes up to Peter, probably puts his arm around and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Do you love me more than these? Some people think that maybe he's referring to the boats and the fish. And all that stuff. These. Do you love me more than your boats and your fishing? Could be. Or maybe he's saying, love you more than you love your co-disciples? I know you love those guys. Do you love me more than them? Or, and I believe this, and I think some of the other commentators I listened to, too, or read, you know, they say, I really believe that Jesus is saying, do you love me more than those guys love me? Because when you go back into a couple scriptures, I think it was Matthew 26, these are claims of Peter, all right? Matthew 26, if you don't want to turn to, I'll just read it to you, 26:33. It says this. These are Peter's words. You know, Jesus talking, and just before that, he says, "I will strike the shepherd, and the shepherd of the flock will be scattered. But after that, I have risen." So he's talking about his death and resurrection, right? And then Peter replied, "Even if all fall away, even if John and James and Nathaniel and all these guys fall away, all right." Even if all of them fall away on account of you, I never will. So there's a proclamation of love there, isn't there? Okay, and then you go on to John 13. And 13:37. And they're washing the feet, right? They're together at that around the table. And then there's a denial. Peter here. And Peter says this, or Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Jesus says this, before that, in 36, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. That's love. That's a proclamation. I'm going to show you my love. And that's it. And Jesus is saying, do you love me? Really? Do you love me more than those who love me? And he asked three times. The third time hurt a little bit more. Kind of, you know, and what we call it is the another re-happening. So they're recognizing Jesus more and more. Now there is a restoration, coming back to a condition. But now this is a positive thing. See, regression is a negative. Restoration is the positive, the make even better than before, right? Restoring to that point, but even better than before. And he's taken him through this process of restoring. He denied three times. Well, he needs to have that question, do you love me, asked three times. Because he's regressing, and Jesus doesn't, he's not looking to bench Peter, but he's looking to restore him into what he was before and to even a better condition of heart. And that third time he asked a little bit differently. And you know, it's interesting there. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, are you my friend? Are you my friend? And then Peter answers back, well, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And it's kind of, I think it was, I heard an example of this. I think Charles Spurgeon, he's an old preacher from 1800s, and he walked into one of his prisoners' houses, and she's saying, I'm really having trouble. I just don't think I love God. I just don't know if I love Jesus. And he's, you know, they're talking about it, and then he went over and got a piece of paper, and he wrote something on it, and he gave it to her, and it says, I don't love Jesus on that paper. And he says, sign it. And she goes, I can't sign this. And why not? Well, maybe I do love him. See, there's a scripture, I think it's 2 Timothy, where it says, God knows his own. And he'll never let us go, even though we wander and flounder and bench and get benched and bench ourselves and all that stuff, but he doesn't let us go. He knows who we are. And we can just say, Lord, I love you. I know right now what I'm doing is just, I'm just all over the place, but you know my heart. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I know your heart. I know your heart. Do you love me? Do you love me? See, you know what Peter's actions were. Remember when the fish were caught? What did he do? Just sit in a boat going, no. He was the first one in to go to get close to Jesus. See, you know, if you want to just stay on a boat, well, maybe your love is a little tempered. You know, maybe it's not lukewarm towards Jesus, but his love for Jesus was shown right there. He didn't waste any time. He was in a hurry to get to Jesus. Even in his condition of feeling really low. Feeling like he's, you know, I really believe that he feared that he was going to be replaced or removed from being one of Jesus' disciples. I mean, I think that might have been a fear there for him. And so when he got in that water, he was going, I got to show you my love. And okay, we can show it, but Jesus is after right here. More than just showing, right? So the restoration continues. It can be a painful process. I don't know if you've ever been through a restorative process in your own life. I have. And you know, you make those mistakes, and maybe people be gracious enough, or the system is gracious enough to where you can kind of work your way back to where you used to be, and even better because now you learned a big lesson, right? But with Jesus, you know, he's not seeking to bench us; he seeks to lift us up. And then, as we see this, now there's amazingly, it's a retest. So there's a lot of R's in here. And now Jesus is retesting Peter's heart. And you notice he says, Simon, son of John. Simon, Simon, Simon. Well, you know what? If you look at the word Simon in this way, they're using it back way back then. The word means shaky. Shaky. Do you love me? I know you're shaky. Do you love me? I know you're falling apart. Do you love me? He didn't call him by Peter. See, he wasn't Peter. He needed to be restored back to being Simon Peter. And then Peter in the future. Isn't that God's grace, though, when we failed really bad sometimes? And to think that Jesus would even give us another opportunity. In fact, with Jesus, as with the day of Jonah, remember that, he gave him that big fish to give him a chance. How many other people were benched? As we look in the Bible, like Moses benched himself. Well, God didn't allow it. He raised him up. Abraham was kind of benching himself a little bit too. People like even Naomi and her family benched themselves, running off and thinking they knew better. David, he was kind of benched, wasn't he? You remember a guy named Mark, John Mark, who traveled with Paul and Barnabas, and they had a little argument. Well, Paul said, get him out of here. He's not good enough. Bench him. And later on, Paul's writing, please send Mark. He's really helpful to me. You know, God is so gracious that he doesn't just say, oh, you blew it. Big time, you blew it. I'm replacing you with John as leader. I'm just removing you and I don't even know you. Get away from me. Jesus is going, here's another chance. You ready? You ready for a restart? A reboot? A redo? A mulligan if you play golf? You know how, you know, big, beautiful swing and psh, whoop, it's going off in the water way over there. And you can look over at your buddy. Can I go, can I have a mulligan, please? And they go, how many have I done so far? You know? And if they're really good friends, you know, even if the 10th time or whatever, they go, okay, do another one. Do another one. When you run out of balls, oh, you go home. You know, that type of stuff is going on. Jesus is the one that gives us re-chances. He gives us chances and chances and chances because he's looking to shape and change our hearts to something where we're going through this process even to become even better than we were before because we have been through the process of knowing his great love more and more. A lot of times people write, you have to fail. You need to fail in life to move forward. And I have to agree to that. Because if you're experiencing victory after victory after victory, I mean, that's good on you, but you start to rely upon your own strength, and your influence really isn't that powerful. It's not kingdom building. It's more on you. So then when you start to fail and the grace of God comes and it gives you another chance to move up, to move on, to go in a better place, to be even more useful in his hand. Well, wow. Thank you, Jesus, for another chance. And I know we've probably all been there, correct? Thank you for another chance. And thank you for asking me those questions. Because I really need to ask that real powerful question, the most powerful question you can ask yourself in all the world and all the time is, do you love Jesus? Where are you? See, there's a restart. He wants you to us to get off the bench. If we benched ourselves or somebody else benched us, we need to get off. Get out of the boat of despair and self-pity and pride. Get on our clothes and get in that water and start swimming towards him with all of our might to get close to him so he can start restoring us back to be even better than we were before. So when you feel benched, do you recognize who he is? So when you get benched or you feel benched, do you recognize Jesus and who he is? If you don't understand who he is, open up your word. Open up the word of God. Come and join all these classes that we have for teaching the Bible. And learn and grow in that. When you are benched, do you search your heart to see how much you love Jesus? Do you ask yourself that question? Where am I going? What am I doing? Turn the question around. Jesus, do I love you? Am I showing you love right now? A lot of times when we're sitting in our boat and we're just kind of going, nope, I don't want to know you. I don't want to get close to you. Well, that's going to stop any type of process of being restored. And we're going to regress. And we're not going to be so useful in his hand. There's a quote I saw from Tony Evans when I read in the Bible there. He says, you were made on purpose for a purpose. So you were made on purpose for a purpose. If you don't believe that, then you need to get into the Word. God is the creator of all the universe. He created you. He created you, you, everyone here on purpose for a purpose. And no matter when we fail and get benched and all that stuff, he's pursuing that purpose. He's going to complete it in our lives if we just come to him. If we back off of him, I don't think we'll get there when he comes and brings us home. But we won't be a part of this kingdom building process that he has for us to be a part of, or not much. It's very important to realize that. And last of all, we need to humble ourselves. We need to come before him and listen and answer those questions and trust in him and his love for us, his gracious agape love that is divine and unconditional and perfect. And he calls us to get off the bench and to come to him. And to remember this, whoever wants to be my disciple, this is Jesus' words, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus told Peter, follow me twice here. Don't worry about John. Follow me. Don't worry about the past failures. Follow me. And I challenge you with the same and encourage you with the same words as well of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the reminder that we need you, Lord. In this world, in this life, we get benched quite a bit. If somebody else isn't benching us, we're benching ourselves because we're realizing that we aren't good enough for you, or might not be good enough for whatever situation it is that we're up against. But Father, may we recognize that you are good enough and that you are there to lift us up off that bench and get us moving, moving on your path to advance your kingdom and have a wonderful part of that and to be able to receive this gracious love of yours that gives us chance and chances and chance again. Because you're a big God who cares for us and you made us each for a purpose. And it's a beautiful purpose in your sight. So, Father, may we always remember this. May we always run to you, swim to you in all times to come before you and receive your love and your power and your transforming work in our lives. Thank you, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.